With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Round 13 was described as the bye round, heading into it by Stilesy on this week's pod, and it certainly was. It had a bit of a crazy old feel to it, inclement weather. If you were down south in Sydney, I hope everyone's doing safely down there, but games were just messy. Even today's, this afternoon's game was just an absolute scrap fest in the wet, Sharks and Eels there. Much different story up on the coast here, the Gold Coast here, the Titans getting the job done over my boys, 30-10. Absolute chalk and cheese in terms of weather, but for me it was just as bleak as it was down in Sydney, having to check the score on that one there. But JT here for the Sunday wrap for round 13. As we said, bit of a crazy old week, a lot of big scores getting around some of the bigger name players, but a lot of flops. So trying to select one for flopper of the week this week was a bit of a challenge. A lot of guys going definitely unders. Let's do a kick around the grounds in terms of super coach. So personally finished pretty well, 13-26 before the last couple of games update, which I'm pretty happy with. Definitely got a bit of luck there with a few players outside of captain Cam Munster going down injured. That didn't help proceedings, but definitely avoided some of the carnage that other guys unfortunately copped this week. So 13-20 sees me winning 10 out of 10 leagues. So doing quite well there, thankfully. We'll wait to see what happens on Monday. But one of those leagues, shout out to Rory from the Leon Bot Cup, I should say, who played Willie Army over Zach Lomax in his 103 points this week. So not sure what was going around there, champion, but might have been some silly buggers with your team right before lockout. But that'll get you was the difference in the end. Hoping for others out there listening, you might not have had that sort of luck, but tough work there, Rory. But looking around, a lot of 1100s, but a lot of 1200s, it looks like, was the par sort of score for the week. So a lot of players getting up into that 1200 mark, and depending on how updates go and that sort of thing, should see a little bit of an increase. So maybe 1250 or so looks to be about the score that you want to land on if you're hoping for some green arrows up the rankings as we head into the back end of the year. It's not even that far away, a couple of months, and we're almost pretty much finals. So I might bring back the unpopular opinion segment of the week for one time only, sponsored by the North Queensland Cowboys and the Brisbane Broncos this time around. But season off. Can we just call it off? Absolutely done. I don't think either of our supporters, our teams, would really care if there was no more NRL for the rest of the year. It has just gone from bad to worse on the field for us and for the Broncos off the field as well. Jeez, aren't they running into some strife? Bikies, barbers, just not a good time up here. In Bronco land. Can't even enjoy it because my own side's doing horrendously, but definitely unpopular opinion of the week, I'm sure, for other fans, but I would love just to see the season called off. God, it's been an absolute debacle, but at least I've got Supercoach to tide me over. Flopper of the week. We'll go rocker, flopper, shocker of the week, and then our trade fail. So I wanted to jump the gun and get to the flopper there, but might as well sing the praises of gun fullback so far this week. Kalen Ponga, rocker of the week, without a doubt, 172 points. If you traded him or were looking to trade him, it would have been an absolute disaster this week if you pulled the trigger, because he's definitely just burst out of the gates on Saturday night there against the Tigers, strolled through for a couple of tries, set up about three of his own. It was vintage Ponga. We know what he can do. He did this earlier in the year, and then everyone jumped on. Had a bit of a down couple of games there. Fell out of favor relatively with a few super coaches, and yeah, many were trying to play a bit cute and move Ponga on and all that sort of thing. But he's shown exactly why he's a premium fullback option in the NRL and Supercoach. Be interesting if he can pull a couple of games like that together, but definitely what you want to see from your fullback there from Ponga. Speaking of fullbacks, flopper of the week, was about to jump the gun on him. Jimmy Tedesco, 47 points. His lowest hit up runs for the season, so just 23 points in hit ups. I think 10 runs over 8 meters, which is criminally low for Teddy, and we know what he can do. So I'm not sure what was going on there. The Dragons were sort of kicking away from him and that kind of thing, but he wasn't really floating around the middle too much. There were a few offloads going around, so surprising not to see Teddy latch onto a few of them. But the fact he's 900-odd K, whatever he is, 850 these days, 47 points. Thursday night game did not get those who might have captained him. Would have been a horrible start to their week, but Teddy, 47. And that's it. There's a few flops this week, so very, hotly contested award, that one. Shocker of the week, the guy who came out of nowhere. I should have practiced this one. I wrote it down, but I'll give it my best shot. Hamole Olokoatu from the Manly Sea Eagles. Apologies for the pronunciation there, but 91 points for the big Ola there. Just 17 points total in his last two games. So stormed over for a try. I think Sparky, one of my mates, had him for any time, which, a nice little bankroll for your Friday night there. But Hamole, fantastic effort for you there, champion. And finally, the trade fail of the week. So we talked about people getting a bit cute with Kalen Ponga and moving him on. How about getting that cute that you're going to trade him out to Charlie Staines, a second game rookie who is now injured? 36 people made that very move. So this week was every reason not to do that trade. We know that Charlie Staines is going to come back and be, he's going to have that break even of negative 160, whatever it is, but it wasn't this week. So I don't know what those people were doing, but 36 of you traded out Ponga before his 172 to big Charlie Staines. So that might sting for a little while, but not sure you'll be playing the game much longer if you're making those trades. Injuries, the suspension news coming out of round 13. Let's go through the suspensions. Couple here, not really super coach relevant, but Lockie Lewis, high tackle, 1 to 2 weeks. Tried to take Munster's head off at one stage there on the sunny coast. So he'll miss a week with an early guilty plea or two if he takes it to the judiciary and fails. Jack Hetherington, similarly, high tackle, 4 to 5 weeks. He absolutely decked Marty Tapau. It was not a good look, and surprised to only see him off for 10, I think it was, in that game. So not a send-off. I think the send-off is absolutely dead if that sort of effort is not going. Seeing Hetherington out for the full game, but he'll be out for 4 to 5 weeks. Not that it does Manly too much good, but the young kid, he's got a bit of aggression. He might just have to rein it in. From Thursday night's game, Jackson Ford for the Dragons put out a leg and tripped up Luke Keary on his way to the line. He's going to see out 3 weeks, which, yeah, looking at that was surprising. If it was a bigger name player, and I thought, was it Mitch Moses or Corey Norman that love a trip. We know Josh Reynolds does as well. And I don't think they ever got that many weeks. I thought it was a fine these days, but grade 3 trip for Jackson Ford. So I think it's just the fact he's not a big name. He's now going to see out for 3 weeks for the trip. And, geez, hasn't COVID been in the news for a lot of bad reasons in terms of the NRL here? Wayne Bennett was the first one having dinner with his better half there, not aware of the rules, supposedly. Even Anthony Seibold having to stay down now in Sydney to sort out a family matter. He's going to be isolated for a couple of weeks. And TPJ, Pangai Jr., who, if he's not suspended for something he's done on the field, he's suspended now for something he's done off, hanging around bikey barbers down in Sydney. Seems to be a fair bit of story there, but the story for TPJ anyway is that he's gone for 2 weeks. So that will sting for any owners out there. He was a pretty good pod for a while. He's quietened down, and that's just absolute face palm material, that one. TPJ. Injuries for this week. Well, the big one we talked about, Cam Munster, 2 to 3 weeks with an MCL. He was captain Cam for me this week. He was flying out of the box too, 60-odd points in the first half, sitting on a try assist, field goal, that sort of stuff. And they got decked in the second half by Lachlan Lewis, and then, awkwardly fallen on by Josh Jackson in the tackle there. So 2 to 3 weeks for an MCL. I'm not sure what you do there. 2 weeks wouldn't be worth a trade out unless there's a really good option. But yeah, definitely if you've got the SJ and Cleary combo, you can probably just ride those guys out until Munster's back. I think they've got a pretty good run heading into the back end of the year and a tough one over the coming weeks. I think Roosters and Eels. So yeah, maybe a somewhat a blessing in disguise if he's missed those couple of tough games, but he'll be back for the run home. Billy Walters, bad news today for him. He is out for 6 to 9 months with an ACL injury. So horrible news for the young kid. He was just getting his start. Pushed back to the bench this week, coming on for about 20-odd minutes. But, yeah, in that time, done his ACL and MCL. So horrible news for him. Wish him all the best with his recovery. For Manly, they had to do it without their prop forwards on Friday night. And, it, yeah, might have got them in the end. Marty Tapau went off after playing 52 minutes straight. He went off for an HIA and did not come back. A horrible tackle there by Hetherington saw his night over. And Adam Fanua-Blake, he was on the park for only about 15, 20 minutes or so. He's done his posterior cruciate ligament PCL, 2 to 3. Weeks is the early quote there, but awaiting scans for the results there. Thursday night, Tarek Sims, shoulder burner, possibly shoulder sprain, not sure what the grading will be there. Could be back next week, could be as out as long as 4 or 6. So watch the scan results come in there. I guess the only Supercoach relevance there, you might have Fui Moana floating around. He won't be scoring 10s or 15s, he's probably scoring 30 or 40 now that he's probably going to get Tarek's starting spot again. Harry Grant in the news there. Obviously, this week he was very much a surprise out. He's 3 to 4 weeks away now. They've just updated his prognosis, I think it is, 3 or 4 weeks with his knee injury there. A couple of other ones coming out. Jake Averillo, hip strain. So I think they're yet to confirm results there, but tough luck for anyone that still owns Averillo there. He's gone for at least a couple of weeks. And Saliva Havili, done his tricep. Could be 2 to 6 weeks. Not sure on the grading there as well. Wait for Monday updates there. But yeah, poor Raiders. They just cannot keep a healthy side on the park at the moment. Let's take a quick break and then come back and do the round the grounds for each of the 8 games.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Alrighty, we're back here to go through the 8 games, some of the good and bad coming out. Dragons getting done by the Roosters here, 16 points to 24. Let's go through the good, and right at the top of the list, Zach Lomax had a very poor week last week, not much going his way, and obviously stormed back in this one here. 103 with 2 tries. It didn't look good after his first try, so Ryan Hall hung onto his leg, twisted a bit in the tackle once he'd gotten over the line. He wasn't happy about it, and yeah, he thought it could be night over given the way he was clutching at the knee, but thankfully, again, played on. It's heavily strapped up, so it could be an issue going forward. But in any case, Lomax was on fire in this game. If you've traded him out, rage trade after last week, or even might have sat him on the pine, shout out Rory, you've definitely not done yourself a service there. 103 points, fantastic effort, and he just keeps on keeping on. So definitely a play to see the year out. Cam McInnes, 99 points, probably a dubious little try assist this one here. If you've got him, you're happy with these unicorns there, but I don't particularly own him, and well, I don't own him, and I went back and had a look at this one, and couldn't really see how they gave it to him. He was involved in the lead-up play to that initial Lomax try, and they've somehow seen he's done enough to get himself 20 points there with an assist. But anyone that owns him, you'll absolutely take that, and again, he's bounced back after a quiet-ish couple of weeks, played at hooker mostly in this game here, but he was pretty handy out there. getting heavily involved. So definitely worth hanging on to him. Maybe if you've switched him up this week for Cam Smith or Harry Grant, you've done a decent job there, Cam. McInnes, well done. Luke Keary returned to form with a 98, including a try and a try assist. So he's been a bit quiet at stages this year. He's had two out of three of his last games were below 30. So definitely in a quiet patch. And anyone that's held on to him was duly rewarded here. But the real powerhouse in this game here, and a fantastic trade in if you've made that call this week, was Takayoho, 92 points and 80 minutes. I played the full game out. He was an absolute beast here. Two offloads, five tackle busts, 44 hit-up points. That's absolute gun material there. And, of course, kicking, goal kicking without Kyle Flanagan. So interested to see how long Flano is out, but definitely another string to Takayoho's bow. And in his post-match interview, he was talking about how he had to take the side by the scruff of the neck and lead them with a few of their outs. So definitely a huge effort by him. Well done to anyone who jumped on. Another few goods here for the centres. Joey Manu, 76, a couple of tries, and Orbo Gun, 75. So he was definitely an interesting play a couple of weeks ago when he was 250-odd K. Got a starting role with Angus Crichton out and shifted to the centres. You thought maybe he's due for a 30 or 40, but again, just strolled over. So he's in a rare try-scoring form. Big Orbo Gun. So fantastic stuff for anyone that jumped onto him. He's just going to soar in price. And I think he'll probably move back, depending on whether Boyd Cordner's back at some stage. I think they'll shift him back to second row to take over Tupanua anyway. They'll find another center there. But for now, anyway, Orbo Gun doing fantastic things. Some of the bad from this game we mentioned, flopper of the week, James Tedesco, just 23 hit-up points, by far his lowest total of the year. So I think he normally averages around 30 or 40. So definitely well below par for him. Not sure what it was, just wasn't heavily involved. Got an early try assist out to Orbo, but outside of that, just not involved. So if you jumped on him early and didn't use the VC on him, it was a very tough watch. Bit of a waste of a captaincy, especially this week. I would have thought most people, or a lot of people, would have had very few options. So the VC loop was very much in play, unless you've had an absolute AE nightmare on the bench. But if not, probably, lesson learned going forward. That early captaincy can sometimes sting you. But anyway, live and learn. And no one else really super coach relevant in the bads there. So let's move on to Manly getting done by the Warriors, 22 points to 26. Fantastic effort by the Let's Go On Warriors. Two wins in a row for them, and they just keep going from strength to strength under Todd Payton, despite everything going on. The coach basically saying he's knocked back the offer midweek, and RTS struggling, and Blake Green moving out midweek as well to go to the Knights. Everything just points to a Warriors crumble, and they just managed to find a way. They've got a bit of grit about them that they don't normally have. So fantastic stuff for the Warriors and their fans. The good here, Gerbo, 90 points. And I've got to say, I didn't talk about him in the lead up to this week as a second row option that people could bring in. We were going through some of the lists there. We talked about the likes of Cam Murray and that kind of thing. But Gerbo, very much underrated play here, 90 points. He was given an assist for an offload that led to a try in the second half, I think it was. It could have gone to DCE, but occasionally it was a pretty handy offload that ended up assisting enough in the try, I guess. DCE did throw a long cutout ball, so surprised not to see him get awarded it. But anyway, you'll again take that sort of unicorns when you can, if you've got them. It will not go your way all the time. So Gerbo, 90 points, a lot of base as well. He's been going great guns over the last couple of weeks. So definitely one on my not so much never again list after last year, but he was just a bit flat last season. But now without his brother, he's gone from strength to strength. So good stuff, any Gerbo owners. 40 tackles, no misses, good stuff. Marty Tapau, 75 points in 52 minutes. Set up the top. He played the first 52 entirely, but for having to go off for an HIA, got decked by Hetherington. So what could have been if he had have stayed on that park? 75 points. He was building to possibly a ton, so that would have been huge for anyone that owns him. Justavunga, though, interesting one here, 73 points from 50 minutes, almost all base. So that's exactly what people expected bringing Jazz in this week. It was a call a lot of people ended up going with. He was four games back into his long-awaited injury return. And, again, 50 minutes is not huge, and that's probably where he's going to sit in this rotation. So I don't think you're going to see too much, but, geez, if he's banging out points per minute of, you know, 1.2, 1.3 based on that. That's fantastic stuff. You can bring that in any day of the week. So if you've already made the move and traded out Cam or Harry Grant and put Tavanga there, you can easily flip him down to second row when Cam Smith is back and ride Tavanga out to see the year. He's definitely looking the goods there. DCE, 75 points, probably deserved a ton. As we said, Gerbo got the try assist for one there, two try contributions for DCE. So again, heavily involved without Turbo. It just seems to be where he leads the side around and gets all these attacking stats. So might get maybe two or three more weeks without Turbo. So anyone that owns him can rest easy there. He's been going great. Tohu 69, Alel, just 75 minutes here. Again, a weird sort of 5 minute stint on the sidelines in the second half there. Not sure what the plan is there, if it's just managing his minutes. He's been getting through a lot of work this year. So literally all base from Tohu. So not helped along by a try this week, but definitely taking 69, and hopefully that's sort of the bottom of his output potential. So with Tavanga there taking a lot of points off him through the middle there, it's nice to see Tohu still hitting those sort of scores there. Means we can target other fires to put out. Some of the bad here for the game, AFB, we mentioned 16, had to go off with an injury. Katoa, Eli Katoa, scored a try and only got 41 points. So decent upgrades because he was sitting on about 30. I think it was May. Yeah, that was about 30 just after lockout there, after the game had finished. So 61 minutes from him. I think he went off with an injury in the second half. So without the try there, that's a pretty ordinary score. But anyhow, 41's definitely not the worst score I've seen this week from the likes of them. So good stuff. Moving on, Rabideau's getting the job done over the Broncos. 28 points to 10. It was a shocking game by the Broncos here. Some very, very easy tries let through, and I wish I could say that my side was defending better, but Sunday afternoon was not much more chop. But anyway, the good in this game here, Adam Reynolds, 81 points. So I had a horrible -4 couple of weeks ago, was it last week, and bounced back in a big way here. He was steering the side, Rabideau's side around with aplomb, nailing goals, all that sort of stuff. So 81 points for A-Ray, very much a pod option, but he does have his fanboys in this game. Well done to them. And Payne Haas, 79 points in 80 minutes, tried to get stuff going through the middle there. Just not the same Payne Haas of last year at even the start of the season. Maybe it's just the minutes wearing, zapping the juice out of his legs or whatever it might be, all the goings on at the club. But whatever it is, Payne Haas just not as effective as previous games, I guess. But 79 points, definitely not. Yeah, you're happy with that if maybe you go on the pod captaincy route with him. But either way, it's still a handy enough score. And David Fifita, 79 points, including a try. So initially in the first half, he was very quiet. I think about 20, 25 points maybe at halftime. But after the second half resumed, he targeted Cody Walker in that line, broke through for a try, offload as well. In the second half, so he was looking very much like he'd shaken off the rust in that first half and bounced back. Still be wary given he 30 odd points out of that 79 came from that one play, but again, that's what he can do. So if you're banking on the Broncos to sort of turn it around, or at least for Fifita to lead some sort of resurgence for them, you might be backing him in. But definitely a wait and watch for him. Who else we got? Latrell, 63 points, relatively involved in this one here. A little less lazy Latrell than previous. Try assist and a long range line break for him. And he almost outpointed Teddy here. He got 22 hit up points. Normally gets absolutely flogged in that respect by James Tedesco, but this week he was just 1 point off. So yeah, maybe not so much lazy Latrell this week. Some of the bad here, there's quite a few that I've got on my list. A lot of guys that haven't quite lived up to their potential. Cam Murray, 53 points, played on an edge the whole game here. So that didn't help his output. He was still relatively dangerous and did some work through the middle as well, particularly defensively. But again, just not explosive Cam Murray of years past. So it would have been a tough... I was looking at him this week as well. I thought the matchup was pretty good. Not great weather, but he does come up against us next week. And he absolutely carved us up last year. I have visions of it happening yet again. So interesting if anyone's still going to look at Cam Murray after 53. A little disappointing, but if he's back at lock and working through the middle, he could be a good shout for this week. Damien Cook, meanwhile, 49, and that was on a break even of about 160. So he is going to absolutely free fall in terms of price. He got the could have been more though. He got the last touch, or he was the last touch for a couple of their tries. Didn't get a single point for it though. So he tapped the ball to Mark Nichols, who strolled through some awful defense from the Broncos, and then passed the ball to Tom Burgess, who scored his first try in quite a while, I think it is. But yeah, just sort of shoveled the ball on at the line. I've seen him given before, so interesting not even to see a TC 4 points there. But yeah, owners will not have been happy with that effort, particularly anyone who's captained him. I know he's quite popular this week. A few of the young legends boys a little upset in on the Saturday morning, that one, when they saw some of the scores come through. But yeah, Damien Cook, 49 points. Geez, if you're buying a bargain priced Damien Cook for this week against the Cowboys, could be a good shout, but again, just not kicking on. Thought he would, but it's he's taken his sweet time. Paddy Carrigan, 43 points in 43 minutes. This one was pretty bad. I guess maybe saved by the news coming out today with TPJ going out for a couple of weeks there. It was looking like he is going to be the loser, I guess, in the rotation now that Fifita's back. TPJ is healthy and not getting suspended until today, obviously. But yeah, 43 points in 43 minutes. And it looked like an HIA late. It was about 10, 15 minutes to go. And he just sort of walked off the dead ball line and looked like an HIA, but apparently I think it was just a hooking. So he gave away a couple of penalties in the second half there, crucial penalties at that stage, and it might have been Siebes just hooking him. So again, Carrigan getting a lot of work done in the time on field, but that time might be shortening. Hopefully with TPJ out, it might boost those minutes back up to the 60-65 mark, which we want to see. But yeah, might be holding fire on that trade out. It'll be an easy one to do. He's a rage trade candidate with that score, but just hang on to him, given his dual flexibility and role in the sides yet to be firmed. So he's a watch for mine. Another bad here, Tony Staggs had a bit of a tough week, zero involvement in the game, and yeah, couldn't get much going for the Broncos, 28 points for him. Cody Walker, 41, he was close to a few attacking stats, but yeah, just caught on the last, or the player he fed it to was just dragged down, that sort of thing. Yeah, again, could have been anything, but that's a standard Cody Walker game. He's a bit of rocks and diamonds, old Cody. Saturday's first game, Storm 41 getting the job done over the Dogs 10. So it was another game in Queensland with fantastic weather. So very much a chalk and cheese with Sydney this weekend, but sunny coast was sunny indeed. And some of the good here, Nico Hines, 102 points. Don't they just have this weird fullback revolving door of just players that can come in and absolutely gun it? Every other side has to look at this and just be so jealous. But Nico Hines, I think he's played a couple of bench games. He's definitely not their first choice fullback for sure, but he's come on 102 points, taken over from Pappy. A lot of owners of Pappy or former owners might be asking where those points were when Pappy was there on the reg, but fantastic effort by Nico Hines there. And Kenny Bromwich, 94 points. Wilfred owns him, so one of the few calls that have gone Wilf's way this year. So good to see for Wilf there. Kenny Bromwich getting a couple of tries here. Heading into this game, he scored a 64, 86, and 66. So he's been in a bit of a rich vein. So if you've jumped on him, I think for that Titans game was the start of that run there. If you've jumped on at that point, he was very low, 370-odd K. So he's definitely firming back up to that sort of mid-range second row option that he was to start the year. He'd fallen a fair bit away, but looks to be bouncing back now. Some of the other good, Josh Adokar, 72 points, two tries. So he scored two against the Broncos and scored similarly as well. In this case, it was an intercept and then that long-range kick at the death. So I think it was Jerome Hughes put the kick in on their 40-meter line, and Adokar's won the race to it. It's an incredible foot race. He's needed for himself as well. So very handy points for owners like myself. Junk time, you got to love it. Interesting to see what people do going forward. I don't think I can lock Adokar into my side much longer. He's a very, very tough watch as an owner. He just doesn't get involved. And Cam Munster, 68 points, we mentioned, came out of the blocks flying. Unfortunately, went down with that injury, so could have been anything this afternoon for him. But unfortunately, that's sometimes how Supercoach works. But you'll absolutely take that 68 if you've captained him. Who else we got? Tino, he played 71 minutes, got HIA'd, but was looking like doing the full 80 at lock there. So he was very much a buy for this week if you wanted to take the short-term cash grab, or even if you're like me and you've held him for quite a while. It was a week to play him. So 52 points, I'm not too upset about that. It's probably not good, but it's okay. I'll absolutely take that. Some of the bad here, RFM for Tyler Marinan, 49 points, no try assists, or no try, I should say, this week. So he's been barging over left, right, and center over the last couple of weeks, last month or so. But this week he was on the, yeah, unfortunately not going to do that against the Storm. Avarillo, 6 points, hip injury, and also a terrible missed goal. One of the worst I've seen for quite some time, probably since Kyle Felt missed it from directly in front. Shout out Cowboys a couple of weeks ago. But yeah, it was a nasty one. Nasty hip injury as well. So he might shed a bit of cash. Jerome Hughes, when everyone else in the Storm side was flying, he only finished with the 38. Including that last-minute kick, assist, try. So, it was a tough old afternoon for anyone that might be on Pod Hughes. Brandon Smith, 52 with the try assist as well. So he fed a ball to Kenny Bromwich at the line there. 52 is not a great score. 67 minutes on park there. People were hoping for similar outputs to Cam Smith and the base work that he kind of gets through. And, yeah, I guess the Storm are just so attacking. You know, you're happy with the one try assist, but definitely not as heavily involved as people would have thought. A lot of energy he plays with and that kind of thing. It didn't lend itself here to a lot of base stats. So if you made the move from Cam Smith to B. Smith, it's probably not worked out too well here. But you get another week anyway where he can show his wares. So would keep playing him. Came off for Chris Lewis for about 13 minutes in the back end. So Chrissy Lewis coming off the bench there to sting owners of B. Smith. But anyway, Knights 44 defeating the Tigers 4 for Saturday's second game here. Some of the good we mentioned, Rocker of the Week, Kalen Ponga, 172 points, 2 tries, 2 try assists, 6 goals out of 9, 3 line breaks, 2 line break assists. Even got a held up in goal for 3 points. We've held on to them, held the player up in goal. You get 3 points for it in Supercoach these days. So even got that just to add a bit of icing to that cake. Luciano Leilua, 82 points, including a try. So again, a lot of people had to hold on to this guy given some of the other fires, Matto not playing and all that sort of stuff. If you've held on to him, he just keeps scoring tries for you. So maybe he's could be a decent pod player if everyone's jumping off. And if you've happened to hold on to him, he's just scoring. So got to be happy about that. Nofo in the goods here, 58 points in a well-beaten side. Again, as a winger, that's pretty huge. Got a line break and a couple of offloads, 4 busts, just doing Nofo things. So fantastic stuff. He's 600K. If he broke through for a try, that's a 80-point effort. But 58 points in basically all Nofo base, you're going to absolutely take that. Mitch Barnett, 68 points, been a bit of a quiet achiever, 71 minutes here, including a try assist. He had a 3-round average of 63 leading into this. So again, he's been doing his job out there, showing why he was probably an option, was it 2 or 3 years ago? Yeah, definitely gets through a lot of work when he's out there. But Mitch Barnett, huge pod, but doing good things. So the bad scorers, I've got to say. Kurt Mann, given he was back to 43 this morning, he's back to 51. They've given him a line break assist. But surely he's owed a try assist. He fed the ball, a pretty handy ball on the line there for one of the Knights' many tries, and they've given him nothing for it. So I don't own him, but I can feel for any owners out there who were probably screaming at their phones this morning when they opened it up and saw Kurt Mann drop from about 65, 70 odd to 43. So they've taken off his try assist bizarrely because I've seen them given almost every day of the week these days. So it wasn't just the part and parcel, pass the ball from the deck and the other player does all the work, but he jinked and he ran. It was just very surprising call not to see Man get given that, but surely that gets back on Monday updates. I think there'll be a bit of an outpouring of emotion if that's not the case. And finally, Joey Leilua's defense, 42 points for him, but he gave up probably that many points for the Knights on the night. Saturday's final game was a good one here. Panthers getting the job done. They're going from strength to strength. 28 points over the Raiders, 12. Some of the good here, Nathan Cleary, every week he seems to be in the assist, 85 points. Captaincy option every week, as we mentioned, is why not? The Panthers have a very handy run heading into the back end of the year, and it just seems to be everything he's touching is turning to gold at the moment. Radar is on with the kicking boot. He's heavily involved in everything that they do. Appy Korosau, 70 points with a try assist in 80 minutes. So again, if you've held on to him, it's an absolute kissed on the D-I-C-K moment because, yeah, that's fantastic stuff for Coro. It looked like he was down and out, that elbow injury, but it was only a week on the sideline and he's come storming back. Try last week, try assist this week. I keep wenning. I'm saying fantastic every 2 minutes, but everything's fantastic this week. 70 points, how good. Isaiah Yeo played 80 minutes, was his turn to get an 80-point banking. So 63 for him. It was, handy enough score from him. He's definitely going. Like, you've just got to have this guy on your center wing. If you've tried to play cute at the start of the year and not have minutes, he's just banking too many good scores week to week. So Isaiah Yeo, absolute surprise packet for 2020, but Great stuff. Billy Kickout, 69 LL minutes in, yeah, only 65 points, including a try. So he stormed over for, I think it was the first there. Basically couldn't be stopped and thought he was going to go for a much bigger game than this, but only 65 points. It's a weird old year for Billy. He's getting a few attacking stats here and there, but his minutes are all over the shop. You've got him for the upside if you do still own him, and that upside is the try he scored. But, without it, could be a very surprisingly low score for him there. But you'll take the 65. Josh Mansell bounced back somewhat with a 56. So, again, no tries for him, but looking dangerous out there. Still not getting a lot of ball there. His inside man, Stephen Crichton, doesn't like to share. But, Mansour still got a decent score, 56. He hasn't been too bad. He's got a couple of down ones, but everyone's just waiting on him to explode, and it hasn't happened. But surely with this Penrith team and the side he's in, he'll get a big game here or there. And Chance Nickel Klokstad, CNK, two tries on his way to 118 points. So it's been a long time since we really talked about CNK in Supercoach, and he's not been overly relevant this year. Obviously, losing that center wing dual flexibility hurts. But he was the star of the show for the Raiders here, scoring both of their tries in the second half there. Couldn't get them over the line, but definitely doing some great stuff out there. And John Bateman looked dangerous again, did only get 56. And mind you, this is all before updates, so all these scores I've quoted for the Panthers game, definitely before updates. But 56 from Bateman, he just looks dangerous out there, and I've brought him in this week. I'm not too disappointed with that score. Obviously, you're going to get that now and again from an edge second rower, especially coming up against a pretty good side in Penrith. But 56, I'll take, hopefully some updates for Monday morning. And Josh Papali, 64 points in 62 minutes. All I can say basically is look out Broncos. He's got them this week. He's finding the line at ease this year. He didn't find it here, but if Mark Nichols is crossing the stripe the way he did, how the hell are they going to hold out Josh Papali? It should be an absolute sight to see. Some of the bad from this game, Fisher Harris, JFH, 47 points in 54 minutes. So, again, he's been a bit up and down. He playing 70 or 75 minutes last year in this sort of prop rotation. It looked like he could do that again this year, but again, maybe they're just managing the minutes throughout the pack, the Panthers are. You never really know who's going to play 80 each week, but JFH this week was pretty ineffectual, 47 points only. And then some of the baddie, the Raiders backline, geez, Croker 15, Kotrick 17, Curtis Scott 34, and Jordan Rapana 41. George Williams as well had a try taken off him, ended up with 28. But some acting from Billy Kickow, big diver in the line there, stopped George Williams getting a very much needed try there. So he looks a bit of a trade out. But that Raiders back line, I know they've got a couple of good games coming up, but geez, they have not been good this year. Sunday, let's go to it. Titans 30 getting the job done over my boys, the Cowboys 30 to 10. Some of the good here, AJ Brimson, 131 points. Big step up from his 18. Coming back from his back injury against the Roosters last week. So obviously the difference in quality of opposition is a bit much here, but 131 points, fantastic stuff for him. Available at fullback in 5'8". Had a very quiet game last week, but I think you've just got to sort of ignore that. It's a horrible injury he was coming back from. So I think the fact that he's now had a couple of runs on the park there, tore it up here and looked seamless, like he'd fit in seamlessly into that Titans attacking shape. Got a pretty good ball from Kevin Proctor to score, and definitely looked the AJ Brimson of old. So he'll be a very much an interesting player if you're going to move Cam Munster on for a couple of weeks. He had a 75 break even leading into this one, so he's not going to go up hugely in price next week. He'll have this 131 though floating in his average. So if you're banking on the Titans to turn it on against the Sharks, Raiders and Dragons over the next 3 weeks, not the toughest but not the easiest sort of opposition there, but if you're banking on the Titans to continue their decent run of form here, AJ could be a huge play heading into the back end of the year. The only other good I've got down, Lolo 75, saved by a late line break. Probably should have passed. I think the try was on, but that could have helped save anyone who's captained him. 75 points from a guy you've captained this week is fantastic stuff. Fantastic again. I can't stop it. It's great stuff for given some of the other options we've had so far this week. Some of the bad, Hamizo, 41, including a try assist. HTF, Hammer Time. It hasn't been Hammer Time for quite a while. He's unfortunately just the 18, 19-year-old body can't quite keep up with the rigors of NRL week to week, unfortunately, and it's hurting his scores here. 41's not the worst, but if you've had to play him, you'll take that. Morgo, my boy, 41, he's a new dad. 41 points and a try assist. 4 errors, 7 missed tackles, and a penalty. Geez, what's that? About 17, nearly 20 negative points. Not great on his return, Morgo. He couldn't make a tackle to save himself, but at least well above his rival Anthony Milford's season average of 35. So 6 points to the better there. Take that, Wilfred. Cowboys are bad. Let's move on to Sharks. Final game of the round. The Eels getting the job done 14-12 over the Sharks. Scrappy old game. Monsoonal stuff. Going from the sunny on Gold Coast to down here was a bit of a mismatch. But somehow these players, I've got them in the good here. Let's go through. Dylan Brown, 106. Scored a try, set one up. He was looking the goods in that first half there. One of the real shining lights for them so far this year. SJ, 67 as well. A couple of try assists. Could get another one on updates. They've given it to Will Kennedy, but SJ was heavily involved in that one, so could go relatively largely if they do grant him that one. And Mitch Moses, 55 points. All these guys banking attacking stats. Moses, 5 forced dropouts, so no try assists or anything for him, but 5 forced dropouts in the wet too. Basically just kick into the in goal and it's going to stick. So well played there by Moses. And Nathan Brown, 69, Lel in 65 minutes. So Brownie, again, you expected these forwards to get a lot of the grunt work done through the middle there. So he was pretty much the beneficiary of that less expansive sort of play for this game here. 69 points should upgrade nicely. And Toby Rudolph, 58 points from the bench yet again. So I traded him out this week, got John Bateman in, and it ended up being 2 points worse off pre-updates. So Toby Rudolph has been absolutely killing it over the last couple of weeks. He's been moved to the bench, this weird rotation with Jack Williams. They name him at 13, but put him at the on the bench there, but he's just come on and torn up, whether it's because he's playing against sort of more tired defenders and that sort of thing. I'm not sure what, but Toby Rudolph, geez, why don't just hang on to him if you don't need to trade him out. He looks a very safe play if you're desperate for an 18th or last reserve, I guess, in this case. It was the case this week, and geez, there's a lot of injuries floating around, so having a guy like Toby Rudolph on your side there could be handy in the back end. Some of the bad here, Micah Seva, 36, including 2 line breaks. So start of the game, I think he was on 15 points in about 2 minutes. Did not go very far after that, so obviously the wingers aren't getting a lot of ball in a game like this, but look at some of the other back line. Wonga Blake, 12 points. Will Kennedy, 26, got a try assist, but could go to SJ, as we mentioned. And Sione Katoa, 25 points, playing on the left edge. So he's obviously killed it on the right edge so far. They've shifted him back over there for Mulatalo's return. And, unfortunately just hasn't boded well for his Supercoach score there. So 25 points in the wet, not a great outing for him. And Andrew Davey, finally, 16 points. He's in the bad here. He was a cheapie that a lot of people jumped on last week or two ago, and he's just not. He wasn't a play. He's been on... Yeah, pretty stacked Parramatta side here. There's a lot of forwards there. He's not going to get a lot of minutes. And if he does manage to get on the park, it's not going to be for that long. So unfortunately, he might be shedding a bit of cash if he doesn't get a starting spot soon enough. And with Maddo coming back, fingers crossed, next week, that could spell the end of his time on the park even to begin with. Anyway, that brings us to the end of round 13. It was a tough one to watch for me personally. The Cowboys not getting the job done, but we move on. Decent week on the Supercoach front for me. So onwards and upwards, we're heading into the back end, the money end of the year. It'll be another massive trade week. We've got Cam Munster's injury, Harry Grant gone now, Best gone, all these players down and out. It's who are we filling our side with in the back end? I'm loving it. It's really opening the comp up. So fingers crossed you can make the right move going forward. But we'll be here on Tuesday night to go through it all with you. From JT here, it's a big yee-haw for Sunday night. Give your love to a cowboy man. Your raging. I'm at the outpost. Whoa, whoa.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.